بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، وصلى الله على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم. We continue into the narrations from Riyad al-Salihin, and we have reached hadith number 44. This is a lengthy hadith. وعن أنس رضي الله عنه قال كان ابن لأبي طلحة رضي الله عنه يشتكي، فخرج أبو طلحة فقبض الصبي، فلما رجع أبو طلحة قال ما فعل ابني؟ قالت أم سليم وهي أم الصبي: هو أسكن ما كان. فقربت إليه العشاء فتعشى ثم أصاب منها، فلما فرغ قالت وار الصبي. فلما أصبح أبو طلحة أتى رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم فأخبره فقال: أعرستم الليلة؟ قال: نعم. قال: اللهم بارك لهما فولدت غلاما. فقال لي أبو طلحة: احمله حتى تأتي به النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم. وبعث معه بتمرات، فقال: أمعه شيء؟ قال: نعم، تمرات. فأخذها النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم فمضغها، ثم أخذها من فيه فجعلها في في الصبي، ثم حنكه وسماه عبد الله. Agreed upon hadith. And in the narration of Bukhari, قال ابن عيينة: فقال رجل من الأنصار: فرأيت تسعة أولاد كلهم قد قرأوا القرآن، يعني من أولاد عبد الله المولود. وفي رواية لمسلم: مات ابن لأبي طلحة من أم سليم، فقالت لأهلها: لا تحدثوا أبا طلحة بابنه حتى أكون أنا أحدثه. فجاء فقربت إليه عشاء فأكل وشرب، ثم تصنعت له أحسن ما كانت تصنع قبل ذلك، فوقع بها. فلما أن رأت أنه قد شبع وأصاب منها، قالت: يا أبا طلحة، أرأيت لو أن قوما أعاروا عاريتهم أهل بيت فطلبوا عاريتهم، ألهم أن يمنعوهم؟ قال: لا. فقالت: فاحتسب ابنك. قال: فغضب، ثم قال: تركتني حتى إذا تلطخت ثم أخبرتني بابني. فانطلق حتى أتى رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم فأخبره بما كان، فقال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم: بارك الله في ليلتكما. قال: فحملت. قال: وكان رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم في سفر وهي معه، وكان رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم إذا أتى المدينة من سفر لا يطرقها طروقا، فدنوا من المدينة فضربها المخض، فاحتبس عليها أبو طلحة، وانطلق رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم. قال: يقول أبو طلحة: إنك لتعلم يا ربي أنه يعجبني أن أخرج مع رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم إذا خرج، وأدخل معه إذا دخل، وقد احتبست بما ترى. تقول أم سليم: يا أبا طلحة، ما أجد الذي كنت أجد، انطلق. فانطلقنا وضربها المخاض حين قدما فولدت غلاما. فقالت لي أمي: يا أنس، لا يرضعه أحد حتى تغدو به على رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم. فلما أصبح احتملته فانطلقت به إلى رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم، وذكر تمام الحديث. The narration in the agreed upon version, Anas رضي الله تعالى عنه reported, one of the sons of Abu Talha, may Allah be pleased with him, was ailing. And Abu Talha went out and the boy died in his absence. When he came back, he inquired, how is the boy? Umm Sulaym, the mother of the boy, replied, better than before. Then she placed his evening meal before him and he ate it, and thereafter slept with her. At last she said to him, arrange for the burial of the boy. In the morning Abu Talha went to the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam and informed him of the event, and he inquired, did you sleep together last night? Abu Talha replied in the affirmative, on which the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam supplicated, O Allah, bless them. Thereafter she gave birth to a boy. Abu Talha said to me, take the boy and carry him to the Prophet ﷺ. And he sent some dates with him. The Prophet ﷺ inquired, is there anything with him? He said, yes, some dates. The Prophet ﷺ took a date, chewed it, and put it in the mouth of the baby, and rubbed the chewed date around the baby's gum, and named him Abdullah. This is the agreed upon narration. The narration in Bukhari adds that Ibn Uyayna relates that a man from the Ansar told him that he had seen 9 sons of this Abdullah, of this son that was born to them, of this Abdullah, every one of them had committed the noble Quran to memory. Now the narration in Muslim says, the son of Abu Talha, may Allah be pleased with him, who was born of Sulaim, died. She, Sulaim, said to the members of the family, don't tell Abu Talha about his son until I mention it to him myself. Abu Talha came home and she gave him supper. He ate and drank. And she then beautified herself the best way she ever did, and he slept with her. When she saw that he was satisfied after sexual intercourse with her, she said, O Abu Talha, if some people borrow something from another family, and then the members of the family ask for its return, would they refuse to give it back to them? He said, no. She said, then hope reward for your son. Abu Talha got angry and said, you left me uninformed until I stained myself with sexual intercourse, and then you told me about my son. He went to the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam and informed him about the matter. Thereupon the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, may Allah bless the night you spent together. He, the narrator, said she conceived. One day the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was in the course of a journey, and she was along with him. When the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to come back to Al-Madinah from a journey, he would not enter it during the night. When the people came near Al-Madinah, she felt labor pains. And he, Abu Talha, remained with her, and the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam proceeded on. Abu Talha said, O Allah, O my Lord, you know that I love to go along with the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam when he goes out, and enter along with him when he enters. And I have been detained as you see. Salama then said, O Abu Talha, I don't feel so much pain as I was feeling earlier. Remember the connection here. Here, he invoked Allah. He said, Yani, O Rabb, you know that I love to go along with the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam when he goes out, and enter along with him when he enters. And I have been detained as you see. Sulaim then said, O Abu Talha, I don't feel so much pain as I was feeling earlier. So, Yani, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala responded to the dua. Remember this point here. So we better proceed on. So we proceeded on, and she felt the labor of delivery as they reached Al-Madinah. Alhamdulillah. She gave birth to a male child. My mother said to me, Yani, Sulaim, O Anas, none should suckle him until you go to the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam tomorrow morning. The next morning I carried the baby with me to the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam and narrated the rest of the story. This is the lengthy hadith. This hadith of Anas bin Malik. This hadith of Anas bin Malik from Abi Talha, that he had a son going through an ailment. Ill. And Abu Talha was the husband of Anas bin Malik. Was the husband of Anas bin Malik radiallahu anhum, the mother of Anas. And this boy was going through ailment. So Abu Talha went out for some of his business, and the boy died. So when he came, his mother, he asked the mother how he was doing. And she said, هو أسكن ما يكون. Yeah, he is in better, in most tranquil state he could be in. And she spoke the truth. Because why? Because he died. He is in stillness.
You understand? And Abu Talha radiallahu anhu understood that, you know, he has recovered, right? That his welfare became better. You understand? That's what he understood. No. So she prepared the supper for him, feeling that what the evening meal, and that he felt that his son was okay. Then he slept with her and had intercourse with her after she was sure that he was satisfied and had his meal and had intercourse. She said, take and bury the boy. Meaning that he died. Arrange for the burial. So in the morning, Abu Talha radiallahu anhu buried the boy. And the Prophet ﷺ came to know about this. And he said, did you sleep together last night? He said, yes. So he invoked Allah to bless their night. So she gave birth to a child, a baby boy, whom he named as Abdullah. And this boy, when he grew, he had nine. He grew up and got married. He had nine of the children, all of them reciting the Quran to memory because of the barakah, the blessing due to the dua of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. In this hadith, as you remember, this chapter we are talking under this chapter about sabr, patience. In this hadith there is evidence for the strong patience of Umm Sulaym radiallahu anha. So this was exemplified in her ability to use words which may be understood in a different way, which is called at-tawriya. There was a need for that. As we remember, this tawriya falls under different forms. Some of it is allowed when needed, and in most cases it is not allowed. So therefore, this kind of tawriya, using such words whereby a person's intention is different from the outward meaning of what he speaks, because it has an obviously understood meaning in the mind of the one receiving it. However, it has a different preponderating meaning with the one who is speaking it, depending upon the intention. And this is permissible, but this is only when there is a need. If the person needs this to bring forth a benefit, or to ward off harm. However, it should not be the case if there is no need. And from the useful ways of using it, where a person might need that, is if an oppressor or a tyrant takes someone's wealth unjustly from him, or if there is a tyrant rather who takes people's wealth unjustly, and someone deposited a certain amount of money with you. So he said, I will leave this money as a deposit, I trust you to keep it for me. I fear that this tyrant may know of it. So this tyrant comes to you and asks you, do you have the money of such and such? So you say, wallahi, ma lahu indi shay. Ma lahu indi shay. There is nothing for him with me. Now the person addressed thinks that this is negation. However, you intend by using this as follows. You intend by the word, by the article ma, ma indi, ma, you intend with it the meaning which is alladhi. So therefore your statement would mean, on the apparent, the thing that I have with me is something. This is how it is in the Arabic. So it will, in your intention, it will be wallahi alladhi lahu indi shay, wallahi, by Allah, the thing that he has with me is something. But when he hears that, it's a negation, because as I said earlier, in the negative aspect, ma would negate that he has anything left with you. But using ma to mean alladhi, the thing, then it changes the meaning to you in your intention. So in this case, it is permissible whereby you save this person's wealth from being unjustly taken. So you are warding off a harm. So therefore it will read, wallahi ma lahu indi shay, the thing with me is a thing to him. But when he hears it, wallahi ma, it is a negation, that whatever I have with me, there is nothing with me for him. One word, one letter, actually, one article, in fact, changes the whole meaning. An affirmation with respect to you, in accordance with your intention, and a negation, as it is maybe obviously understood to the one being addressed. And we talked about this in a previous class, so there is no need to continue on this subject. And in this hadith, the Prophet ﷺ, when Anas bin Malik brought his brother, is he his brother? Asking you. Is he his brother? The narrator, Anas bin Malik, his brother? A brother from both parents or from mother's side? From the mother's side. Yes. From the mother's side. That's right. So when he brought his brother from his mother's side, the son of Abi Talha, he brought him to the Prophet ﷺ, and with him some dates. So the Prophet ﷺ took the dates and chewed them, then he put them in the mouth of the boy and he rubbed that against his gums. And in this there is blessing in the saliva of the Prophet ﷺ. So that the first thing that reaches the belly of this child is the saliva of the Prophet ﷺ. And the companions used to do this when they had children, boys or girls. They would bring them to the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and then would bring with them some dates, so that he makes what is called tahniq. This is called tahniq. He chews on the dates, and then he takes them
after they become soft with his saliva, and then puts his finger with the dates on it and rubs the gum of the child with this chewed dates. Now this technique, you understand now what it means, technique, so that we don't go over describing it. You understand? You know what it means now? It is there. The Prophet ﷺ takes the date, chews it in his mouth, put it in the mouth of the baby, and rubs the chewed date around the baby's gum. This is called tahneek. This is called tahneek. Okay. So, is this technique therefore used for taking the blessing of the Prophet's saliva, or the objective is to make the taste of the dates reach the boy's belly before anything else? If we say by the former that this is the objective is gaining the barakah, the blessing of the Prophet ﷺ's saliva, then this technique would be from his particularities. And therefore, no one would make technique to a child, because no one seeks the blessing of any one's saliva or sweating for barakah except that of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. If we consider this to be the objective of the technique, is to have or receive the blessing of the Prophet alaihi salatu wasallam, then we say this is from his khasa'is, this is particular to him alone. If we say by the latter that the technique's purpose is for the dates, so that the dates would be the first thing after becoming soft, the first thing to reach the belly, then it will be like the tanning of the stomach. Then in this case, every born child, you know, technique can be made to every born child. You understand now? In this hadith, there is a sign from the signs of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, where he invoked Allah for this boy. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blessed him and in his offspring. And as we mentioned earlier, in one of the narrations, he had 9 children, all of them committed the Quran to memory as a result of the blessing of the dua of the Prophet ﷺ. And in this hadith, it is recommended to name the child by the name Abdullah. Naming the child by this name, Abdullah and Abdul Rahman, is the best. قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم إن أحب أسمائكم إلى الله عبد الله وعبد الرحمن. The most beloved names of yours to Allah are Abdullah and Abdul Rahman. As to what is reported by some, that خير الأسماء ما حمد وعبد, the best of names are those which حمدت and عبدت. Then there is no basis for this, and it is not really in fact a narration from the Prophet ﷺ. The authentic hadith is حب الأسماء إلى الله, the best or most beloved names to Allah are Abdullah وعبد الرحمن وأصدقها, and the truest are Harith, Haris and Hammam. And Haris and Hammam are the truest of names because they are in agreement with reality. Since every son of Adam is a Harith, meaning someone who acts, and everyone from the sons of Adam is also Hammam, meaning Yahum wa Yanwi, makes determination, makes intention, and has objectives and has a will. قال الله تعالى in سورة الانشقاق verse 6 84 verse 6 يا أيها الإنسان إنك كادح إلى ربك كدحا فملاقيه. O man, verily you are returning towards your Lord with your deeds and actions. So every person acts and does. So the truest of the names are Harith and Hammam, because they are in agreement with reality. And the most beloved to Allah are Abdullah and Abdul Rahman. And therefore, one should choose for his children, sons and daughters, the best of names, so that he attains the reward, and so that he does good to his children. Going around naming the children with strange names, strange even to the society, this leads to harmful psychological effects upon the children, sons and daughters in the future. So any distress the boy or the girl may encounter due to this name, then you carry the burden, you carry the sin, because you are the one who cause this restriction with this strange name, which people point to and they say, look at this name, look at this name. So therefore the person should choose the best of names, and it is forbidden to name the children with names that are particular to the Kafirs, like George and so forth, the names used by the Kafirs, because this is from the resemblance to them. And the Prophet ﷺ warned by saying, مَنْ تَشَبَّهَ بِقَوْمٍ فَهُوَ مِنْهُمْ. Anyone who assumes the manners of people, then he is from them. We'll stop here, inshallah, before we continue the discussion and the benefits on this lengthy hadith, inshallah ta'ala. Sufficient for this now, this introduction. And inshallah in the future or in the next week we continue the rest. Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen wa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam Muhammad wa alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam.